ain't trip on the flow, man. Just...
Some neighbors were saying way too loud.
That's only in the moment. You supposed to be up cooking breakfast or somebody. That's like an alarm clock.
Welcome in, everybody, to a brand new episode of the world-famous Loose Lugnuts podcast. I'm Evan Roberts, joined alongside Thomas Dick, who celebrated a birthday this week.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, happy birthday.
I had a birthday. I wouldn't say I celebrated it.
No, I saw you ate some banana pudding.
Oh, yeah, I had some banana pudding. Had a didn't have any gabagool. And then one of the goneheads at work, Tyler, he went and scheduled like a 5-hour press conference in the middle of the day so he couldn't make any plans. So.
Wow.
But, you know, it is what it is. And you got some sun. You look like a lobster.
Well, I was going to say a crawfish since I'm in Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Little caught a little bit of sun on Sunday. Yeah,
they got that SPF 69 you could put on there.
Well, you can't get burned if you're stronger than the sun, and apparently I need to hit the gym.
There we go.
But we'll recap Texas. You were there for the truck race.
Oh, I was.
We'll preview the Talladega races this weekend. But first, some news. NASCAR launches the Alumni Network. It's a program that will help the sport and fans stay connected with former competitors. The program is open to past NASCAR competitors and will focus on drivers who competed in more than 100 races in their careers. They'll have exclusive networking opportunities, including an annual at track reunion. How is this not a thing already, though?
I don't know. I'm big into alumni relations. We have it here at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And then my brother was actually a director of the alumni relations for the Cleveland Browns. And what you do is you cultivate getting them back to events, but then you also tie them being at events to money-making opportunities for them. They can get like signing fees and appearance fees, so it helps out the old people. So I don't know why this wasn't a thing. Amber Wells, who's a 25-year veteran of NASCAR, if she was me, I would have thought of this 20 years ago, but they never hired me. She manages the Hall of Fame, and she's going to be the executive director. The first one, I believe, is going to be at Darlington, the first at track reunion. It'll be at Darlington.
This year?
Yes. So they're looking for former drivers, crew chiefs, team owners, team members, and other industry competitors. Are invited to apply. There's a website. We're not going to give out the address because we don't want just some randos sign up to apply it. But those that know will know. And I was looking stuff up. Amber Wells, 25-year veteran of NASCAR. Guess what?
What's that?
She was on the airplane that Sully Sullenberger landed on the Hudson River.
Wow, look at that.
So
the more you know.
That's back when she should have thought of this reunion. She should have said, I almost died. It would have sucked if all these old NASCAR people didn't know I died.
You know who should sign up? Bobby Hill Jr.
I was going to say Lake Speed.
Well, that too. All right, well, let's recap Texas, the Cup Series. Texas Auto Trader Echo Park Automata 400. Kyle Larson won the pole. Ty Gibbs is on the outside. Christopher Bell and Tyler Reddick in row two. Prior to the race, Kyle Busch had to go to the backup car and then unapproved adjustments for Jimmy Johnson and Kaz Grala. It was a pretty orderly start. Larson was out easily in front of Ty Gibbs. And then 11 laps in, we see our friends at Roush Fenway Kozlowski. They're struggling a little bit. Buescher's in 16th. Kozlowski's dropped 10 spots since the start and is in 32nd. By lap 34, Larson's coming up on lap traffic. And as we look at the top five, it's Larson, Gibbs, Bell, Reddick, and Blaney.
Yeah, and as they're coming up on that lap traffic, Kyle Larson's like, hey, I might as well get my pit stops out of the way before I get mired in this traffic. So they start the green flag pit stops on lap 36, going a little bit early. If you want to split the stage in half, they're not doing that. They're going a little early. Lap 39, there's a gas fire on pit road.
Is that bad?
It's bad. Well, it's bad for Ty Gibbs because he wanted the pit. But they told him to stay out. His people told him to stay out because the fire was really close to his area. So he gets mired in traffic. He has a slow pit stop. He ends up losing about 7 seconds in the transaction. He had been right on Larson's tail, and now he's not.
Then lap 44, Chase Elliott and Todd Gilliland are the pitting holdouts. They have not gone in yet. And then lap 51, Jimmy Johnson spins to bring out the yellow. Pit Strategies only has 18 cars on the lead lap. Truex had a two-tire pit stop. He had a loose wheel, though, and then had to pit again.
Yeah, he pit. This is he ends up doing this twice. Spoiler. Yeah. Bad day for his people.
And then a loose wheel also for Ty Gibbs. So not a great day for Joe Gibbs Racing on the pit stops. So Gibbs goes back from third all the way to the back of the field. Turns out the socket from the pit gun was still in the car, so he had to come back and get it off, or they couldn't do future pit stops.
Yeah, and did you watch before the race?
I did not.
Joe gave the invocation.
Oh.
So this might have been God's way of saying you did it wrong.
We do get a restart 5 laps later on lap 56. Larson gets in front of Bell. And then we have an awkward exchange here between Harvick and Bowyer. Harvick throws over to Bowyer when he wasn't expecting it. And then Harvick insinuates that he's hungover.
He almost, like, it almost looked to me like Harvick, like, you don't see what's going on. But from the sounds of it, like, it sounded to me like Clint was looking something up or staring another way. And I think Harvick was pissed and understood that he wasn't listening to Harvick talk. So then he's like, what do you think about that, Clint? And then Clint's like, oh, blah. and then Harvick said something about him being hungover.
So laughs all around in the Fox booth.
It was a struggle all weekend in the Fox booth. They got to get their stuff together. I'm getting tired of it. Even I used to like Jamie Little. She's not a play-by-play person.
Yeah.
But go on.
Yeah, Larson ends up winning the stage. He has won his 11th of 33 stages on a mile and a half tracks. He was followed by Christopher Bell, Denny Hamlin, Tyler Reddick, and Chase Briscoe. Rest of the top 10 is Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, Michael McDowell, William Byron, and Bubba Wallace. Stage 2, we get to see Ross Chastain's pit crew introductions. They were pretty awesome.
Yeah, one of the few. Like, I just got done ripping Fox. This is the one good thing they've done.
Yeah.
The intros they're now starting to try to outdo each other and get more colorful. I'm sad, though, because I feel like, how many races does NBC or Fox have left? They probably have 10 races left.
Yeah, it's not many.
They might not get Dawson Cindric. We might not get to see our guy, Pat Gray.
Oh, man, I hope we do.
I hope we do, too. But Dawson's got to do something. Maybe he'll win this week. He's a super speedway guy.
Yeah, that's true. Truex, he goes with a two-tire pit stop at the stage break. He picks up 10 spots. Blaney, Hill, Buescher, and Gibbs don't pit, so they'll be up front, followed by Truex and Larson. We do see a couple of pit penalties from Zane Smith and Todd Gilliland.
Yeah, the recent truckers get the pit penalties. Lap 89 restart, Blaney gets ahead of Austin Hill fairly easily. Lap 94, Larson, though, he gets by Hill, and he's driving fast. He's chasing Blaney down. We see Bubba Wallace struggle. He drops out of the top 20 from 14th, and then we get a big crash. Not a big crash, but a big crash for this place. It wasn't a big crash. It was a hard crash. Big crash with a lot of cars. This was a hard crash. Christopher Bell spins out. He starts to come back down the track. John Hunter Nemechek Arca breaks the shit out of Alex Bowman. And there you go.
Yeah, and then we see some varying pit strategies during the caution. Blaney drops 7 spots to 8th, and we have Larson and Hamlin out front. Austin Hill's day is done with a steering issue, and then Alex Bowman as well from the accident. Todd Gilliland didn't pit. He struggles on the 106 restart, trapping Truex and letting Larson get a huge lead on Truex and Hamlin. Bob Wallace and Ty Gibbs get way out of the group and both go to the back. And then we get another caution on lap 114. And this is where we start to see this race really, really kind of slow down, in my opinion, with the cautions. We see Carson Hocevar spins around getting into the big one to bring out the fourth one of the day.
Yeah, it's slick up there. They'll tell you 100 times. It's like glass up there. And I read some stuff, both Denny Hamlin and I want to say I won't get the other name right. I think it was Chase Elliott. They're both like, this track would be awesome if you could get the, which they didn't put Fresh PJ one. They back in the day, they put so much down, it is still on the effing track. And like, if that ever goes away, we might be able to run up top and it'd be an awesome track.
Yeah.
But it hasn't. And then this is weird because they started on lap 106. Like, Larson's driving pretty balls out, and he did it without a lug nut on his tire.
Yeah, he thinks that he has a flat tire. Turns out he's wrong because he has no tire. It comes flying off. He gets a 2-lap penalty. It's a huge setback for him. They're already lap cars, so it's going to be hard for him to get the lucky dog, but pretty interesting just to see that tire roll off.
Yeah, wasn't put on so good. Not good for him. Lap 119 restart. Hamlin and Truex duke it out. I don't know if you remember this. Mike Joy pointed it out. The last time they started like this, Hamlin cheated and NASCAR
Oh.
didn't do anything. But they duke it out. Hamlin clears into turn three. And then Josh Berry helps out Larson by spinning out on lap 121 after making contact with Recce Stenhouse Jr. It came down on him. Now it's just Bell one lap down. Grala and Larson 2 laps down.
Yep, 7 lap later on lap 126, Hamlin's ahead of Truex, but Chastain is cruising. And then you think Kyle Larson might be doing a little shady something.
Yeah, he might be paying off Josh Berry because didn't he replace? No, he replaced Elliott and Bowman last year when they were injured.
Yeah.
But Josh Berry spins out, which helps Larson. This can only help Larson. He spins out on lap 130, lap 138, hard into the wall. His day is done. Bell gets the lucky dog. Now there's no one a lap down. So that means Larson can start getting the laps back if they get quick yellows, which they will.
Yeah, Chastain and eight others stay out as they restart with 23 to go into the stage. It doesn't work out for one of them. Michael McDowell, my long shot, gets loose, run alongside Chastain for the lead, which brings out the yellow. So Larson gets a lucky dog in one of his laps back. And then you got some hot opinions about the
Yeah, I
lucky dog.
just, to me, it just, something doesn't feel right about that. This is the opposite of a penalty.
That you get rewarded for other people crashing.
Yeah. Like, to me, if you had to serve 2 penalty laps, you should not be able, you can get any other laps if you crash, and but you shouldn't be able to get penalty laps back via the lucky dog.
I could see that.
Because why, where's the penalty?
Yeah. You just have to get lucky that
Yeah.
there's
Anyhow.
caution. Yeah, we restart with 16 to go. Chastain's in front of Erik Jones and Stenhouse, who are battling for second. 12 to go. Stenhouse is fading. We see Bubba Wallace. He's surging. He's up to third. 5 to go. Chastain's hounded by Wallace, but Blaney is running the fastest. He's in fifth. But Chastain goes on to win the stage, followed by Wallace, Blaney, Jones, and Briscoe. Keselowski, Burton, Stenhouse, Gibbs, and Elliott grab stage points.
Oh, and look, stage three, Larson gets another lucky dog. He's on the lead lap. Basically, he didn't get a penalty.
Yeah, his only penalty was he wasn't able to get stage points.
Yeah.
Wallace and Briscoe, they will start stage three out on the front row. But look at row two, Harrison Burton and the Wood Bros. Yeah, we haven't really updated our numbers
Yeah, I
lately.
haven't looked at the table lately. I have an Excel spreadsheet. I hadn't looked at it lately.
But if he gets the checkered flag, it'll be win number 100 for the Wood Bros.
Yeah, Wood Bros before Wood Hoes. I'm feeling good right about now. Lap 173 restart, 95 to go in the race. It's three wide. Harrison Burton clears them. Then it makes Wallace a little loose because Wallace didn't want to give any ground. He goes up in the track in to chase Briscoe, who had nowhere to go. So both Clint Bowyer and Kevin Harvick's ones to watch both wreck. Or no,
Yeah,
Mike Joy's in Harvick's. Because
very
Clint's the one that pointed out, he's like, both your ones to watch crashed.
good. We restart with 90 to go. Burton is in the lead, and you're calling Dairy Queen to get that ice cream cake.
Yeah, one like he's looking good. First time in about 2.5 years.
Yeah. 88 to go. Reddick gets by Burton for the lead. Very sad. And then 87 to go. Ryan Blaney goes into the wall. We get caution number 10. 83 to go in the restart. Reddick's in front of Hamlin. We see Chase Elliott up to third with William Byron chasing Zane Smith in fifth. About 20 laps later, 62 to go. Reddick's 4.5 seconds ahead of Hamlin and 8.5 seconds ahead of Elliott. And he is just flying, but we do see some of the cars in the back start to do green flag pit stops with 60 to go, including Austin Cindric and Chris Buescher.
Yeah, if you told me, like watching the whole race, who the best car was, who the best driver was, Tyler Reddick.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
He so we'll see. We'll see if he wins.
Yeah.
That's sort of insinuating he doesn't. I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's all
right. I ruined it for everybody.
56 to go. William Byron's one of the first among the front-running cars to pit. We saw that work out for him last week. He was in fourth. 49 to go. Joey Logano shows up on TV for the first time all day. He's leading because he hasn't pitted yet. The ones that would cycle through as the leaders once everybody gets done. Hamlin's actually ahead of Reddick on the track now. Truex had the double pit again, so his chance to win is over. And then 44 to go, you alluded to this, Tyler Reddick looking real good. He gets it back ahead of Hamlin. He's leading the cars that haven't pitted in 13th place. 39 to go, Logano and the non-pitters get what they're looking for. They get another yellow flag as John Hunter Nemechek brings out the yellow.
Yeah, he's been plucked more times than the Rose of Tralee in this race. And then it's amateur hour in the effing booth. Mike Joy calls frozen custard ice cream. Your sponsor
while they're eating Andy's frozen custard, by the way.
Your sponsor is Andy's frozen custard, and you called it ice cream. We'll put him to bed. It's time to.
Down on the track, Tyler Reddick and Denny Hamlin will start out front with 33 to go. Elliott slingshots by Reddick for the
slingshots
lead.
Slingshots, you
bottom.
Almost said.
27 to go. Elliott has a slim lead on Hamlin, but Keselowski is charging ahead. He's by far the fastest car because he's on fresher tires. He's in fifth, about 2.25 seconds back. 22 to go. We see Denny Hamlin get by Elliott just as Reddick runs into the wall fairly hard. No yellow flag for him, though. 20 to go. It's getting real interesting. It's Hamlin, Elliott, Keselowski, and Keselowski is closing in only a second back.
Yeah, he's cut quarters of a second off every lap. He looks like he is the one that can run those guys down. 14 to go. I could have written this different. I put Ricky Stenhouse spins out. I just could have put a Recky Spinhouse, and that would have cut out some words. He brings out the 12th caution of the race. It's going to be a shootout to the finish. Everyone in the top 20 stayed out. I found that to be a bit odd. Like, to me, if you're 12 and back, 13 and back, you should stay out.
You know what?
Or you should pit, I mean.
You know what they say. If you follow the leaders, you're going to follow them to the finish line.
And we're going to end up seeing in the results. Not all of it had to do with this pitting, but I think some people could have made up some ground and they chose not to. We're going to restart 8 to go. Chastain gives Elliott a really nice push, but Larson spins around, brings out the yellow. Just as the yellow came out, Elliott nosed ahead of Hamlin. Zane Smith gets a little bit of damage in this incident. He was in the top 15 at the time.
Yeah, and then they restart with 5 to go, and it's kind of weird how they keep running yellow flag laps for how light the incident. It wasn't a big wreck, so they're not going to restart till 3 to go. So we have Elliott on the bottom, Hamlin on the top in row 1, Chastain and Keselowski in row 2. Elliott gets a start where Chastain can't jump him below, and it takes him until turn 3 to get by Hamlin. And then Hamlin crashes going into turn 4, so you know what that means.
I think we're going to have NASCAR. It's the most – I wanted to compare it to penalty kicks in soccer, but I couldn't think of what they call it. It's NASCAR overtime.
Yeah.
The most exciting play in NASCAR.
Elliott will start on the inside, Chastain on the outside. Keselowski gives Elliott a big push, gets him a little squirrely, but it gets him in the lead until the yellow flag comes out again for Harrison Burton as Kaz Grala. So you know what that means.
No win 100 for Kaz Grala and, I mean, Wood Brothers, and no win for Kaz Grala.
Well, I was going to say it means NASCAR double overtime.
Well, I'm more concerned about the ice cream cake or the frozen custard cake if I get it from Andy's.
So during this time, during this caution, we see teams are talking about saving gas. We have Elliott, Byron, Reddick, Gibbs, and Buescher. They would all get screwed if we went to triple or quadruple overtime, but we don't really have that.
And Mike Joy asked Larry McDonald, he's like, so how many overtimes you plan for? It's like, like, well, common sense, you said you plan for one.
Yeah, Larry's like, you can't.
Yeah, <I was like, laughs> But you don't put enough gas in case there's 12 overtimes.
Elliot does get ahead of Chastain, but Chastain has a little bit of a run. Elliot gets by as they're taking the white flag, and then Byron recklessly plows through Chastain coming out of turn two. But that means it's a win for Chase Elliott. It snaps a 42-race winless streak. Brad Keselowski, William Byron, Tyler Reddick, and Daniel Suarez in the top five. Chase Briscoe, Bubba Wallace, Austin Dillon, Kyle Busch, and Carson Hocevar in the top 10. First career top 10 for Hocevar. And then Ross Chastain gets screwed. He goes from second to finishing 32nd.
Yeah, I just put that recklessly in there. You think it was reckless? I thought it was.
Yeah, I thought it was too.
Like, you weren't
going
catch
for the win, though. So
when he wasn't going for the win, though, there was no way on earth he was catching Elliott.
Well, I don't know. What if his tire pops off?
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that. No, because
I mean, you got to think about that just like you do for.
Yeah, I guess. 12.
But it was really cool. Chase Elliott does a nice Polish victory lap to honor Alan Kulwicki, who was the original Hooters driver. Chase Elliott riding in that Hooters car.
And very sad news. I couldn't find anybody to go to Hooters on Monday.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and I didn't put it. I think it was win 19 for Chase Elliott, which seems low.
Yeah, you would have think he would add more.
Yeah.
But he's still young, and he missed almost all the year, or half the year last year.
Yeah, because he likes snowboarding.
Yeah, we're through 9 of 26 regular season races. William Byron still leads the pack with 3 wins. Denny Hamlin has 2, and then 4 drivers in with 1 victory. That's Elliott, Larson, Bell, and Daniel Suarez. The other drivers above the cutoff line and would be in the playoffs if the season ended now is Truex, Gibbs, Blaney, Reddick, Wallace, Chastain, Briscoe, Bowman, Buescher, and Logano. Kyle Busch is tied with Logano but loses the current tiebreaker. Keselowski's 1 point below the cutoff. Then it's a wide gaping. to Eric Jones, John Hunter Nemechek, and Austin Cindric. A very quiet but a nice performance for Briscoe.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually saw a friend of the program, Luke Hillen, today. I tried to get him on the show, and he always talks about babies. You know, it's like they can go on the show. I'm like, they're better than Tyler and Evan. but he was like, yeah, Chase is trending in the right direction. It's got me pretty excited. I was like, okay, so that's your pick for Talladega? And he's like, yeah. I was like, underdog or like long shot or regular pick?
And
he said regular.
Oh, wow. All right, in Xfinity, we had the Andy's Ice Cream 300 at Texas Motors. Oh, Texas, Andy's Frozen Custard. Jesse Love won the pole with Cole Custer. Oh, my God, I almost said Custard. Cole Custer in
row one. Now he was our sponsor.
Yeah.
Or they were his sponsor.
He was actually on the radio call on Sunday. Cole Custer was pretty insightful. It was funny, just a side story. They were talking about during the pit strategies, like using the little code words or whatever. And he goes, I don't use that because I won't remember the names. And it's like, no one's like actively trying to cheat to figure out how you're doing.
Which I thought
was kind of funny.
Well, I didn't mention it anywhere in the rundown, but Ross Chastain was in the broadcast for this.
Yeah.
I thought he did okay. His voice sort of sounded like other people's voices. He doesn't have a distinctive voice yet, so it was hard to remember when he was actually talking.
Yeah. So Jesse Love, Cole Custer, row one, Taylor Gray, and Chandler Smith in row two. Jesse Love rockets out of the lead, followed by Gray and Custer. Once we get started, lap three, Chandler Smith gets Love loose, passing for the lead as Taylor Gray also gets loose and drops all the way back to eighth. Lap 13, Daniel Dye brings out the yellow with a spin in turn two. And then Chandler Smith fights off Justin Allgaier on lap 17 on the restart.
Yeah, then lap 28, we get a powerful move. A lot of people are like, hey, can we run outside? And Justin Allgaier says, yes, we can. As he blows by in turn one to get the lead. Custer fades late in the stage as Allgaier is out front, wins the stage easily ahead of Chandler Smith. He swept the stages at Texas last year, looking like he's going to do it again, followed by Chandler Smith. Herbst, Jones, Custer in the top five, Ryan Truex, Austin Hill, Ryan Sieg, AJ Allmendinger, Parker Klingerman in the top 10.
And then during the pit stops, Dinger misses pit box, has to repit. So he goes from 9th to 26th. Corey Hines.
He's like, why don't you guys put out a sign? Which I couldn't tell. I kept watching the replay really slow. Like, I could see where it says Celsius on the wall. which that's their sponsor, but it was hard to tell if there was a sign out. So put a sign out. And that's my AJ Allmendinger impersonation.
Corey Haim also missed his pit box. Do you have an impersonation for him?
No, because they didn't play his audio.
Oh, I got you. Justin Allgaier is gone on the lap 53 restart. Midway through the stage, Allgaier and Truex both have debris on their grill. It'll be harder for Allgaier to get it off his grill, though, since he's out in front and he needs a car to get that off of him. We see Parker Klingerman come in for an unscheduled pit stop. He had been running just outside the top 10, and then with 11 to go, we get a yellow flag. Leland Honeyman spins out. Everybody flips the stage.
And Allgaier, of course, the debris gets off his car, Truex, same. So no one's going to overheat. Restart was six to go. It's Allgaier out easily again. Austin Hill in second. Truex hardened the wall in sixth place, and he drifts back out of the top 20 as no yellow flag is dropped. Austin Hill struggling, and he starts going backwards. And it's Allgaier, Custer, Riley Herbst, and Brandon Jones in the top four with three to go.
And then on the last restart, Chandler Smith got some bigger damage than he thought from hitting the back corner of teammate Sheldon Creed. But Justin Allgaier goes on to win the stage to sweep the stages. Custer, Herbst, Brandon Jones, Ryan Sieg in the top five. Sammy Smith, Austin Hill, Jesse Love, Allmendinger, and Sam Mayer in the top 10.
Yeah, they showed Chandler Smith where his front had hit Creed's back and like where there would be a headlight. Huge dent with a hole in it, and like no one knew about it until the stage was over and he pitted and they're like, holy shit, you have a big hole. It's like the episode of the Twilight Zone where there's gremlins on the outside of the airplane and they bite the wing and only the one guy sees it, and he tries telling everyone and no one else sees it. It's like that sort of, but yeah. Not
So they restart with lap at 98. It's a huge start by Allgaier. He opens up a half-second lead before the first lap is done, and then leads up to a second and a half midway through lap 100. All four Junior Motorsports cars are in the top seven at the midway point.
Yeah, then lap 102, Jeb Burton was in 11th at the end of the stage. 11th's pretty good for Jeb Burton, but he didn't like his setup. So he pits, which puts him in the back. And as someone in the truck race is going to say, when you hang out with the squirrels, you're going to get your nuts cracked. And he spins out, runs into the wall, very sad. Good day for him, not good anymore.
Yeah, and then we see Austin Hill, who is fading at the end of stage one. So they made some air pressure and chassis adjustments. He starts coming on. Another great start for Allgaier. Custer and Herbst are behind him.
Yep, lap 131, that means we got 70 to go. Once again, if you got to pick a car that dominated this one, was Justin Allgaier in this race. He's still looking good, but Herbst is drawing closer in second place. 60 to go. Herbst and Brandon Jones are stalking Allgaier as the green flag pit cycle starts with Sammy Smith and Cole Custer pitting first.
Yeah, and then three laps later, 57 to go, we see the leaders all pit. Sheldon Creed, though, gets a pit road violation penalty for a tire out of the box. His chance to win is over. 48 to go, Austin Hill and six others haven't pitted, and they're out front of Allgaier, the pseudo-leader. And we still see the Junior Motorsports cars having speed. Sam Mayer is what would be third place once the top six pit.
Yep, 35 to go. Only Austin Hill hasn't pitted. It's Allgaier, Herbst, Mayer, and Jones, who would be in the top four when he does. He finally pits with 31 to go. It's going to be Junior Motorsports and Stuart Haas Racing battling down the stretch. They make out the They make up the top four.
And then 28 to go, we got a big oh no, as Allgaier was having trouble lapping Leland Honeyman and ends up clipping, sliding up the track into turn two. Honeyman goes into the wall, brings out the yellow.
Yeah, and at this point, it's like, get new tires, don't get new tires. No one knows. Jones moves up three spots on the pit stop. Austin Hill moves up nine spots because of the two-tire thingy. And then Riley Herbst, he lost five spots. Klingerman didn't pit. He didn't have any tires, but he did this last week, and that means he's going to be the slow guy in the start.
Yeah, we usually start with 21 to go. Klingerman on the old tires starts on the inside. Brandon Jones on two tires will start on the outside. No one really gets out front very well, but Brandon Jones is able to hold on. And then Sam Marin second, Riley Herbst in third, and Ryan Sieg in fourth.
Yeah, and at this point, Ryan Sieg is motoring. He is flying. He passes two cars with 19 to go, so now he's battling Mayer for the lead. 18 to go. Sieg gets by pretty easily. He's in the lead. But then we get a run in out back with the backbenchers. 17 to go. Kyle Weatherman spins out. Guess who he ran into?
The Deegs.
The Deegs. It sucks for Sieg because he was ready to run away with this one. We're going to restart with 11 to go. Sieg gets a good start, and he gets out in front of Mayer, so maybe that crash is not going to hurt him.
Yeah, then with 8 to go, poor Herbst, he gets roughed up, drops out of the top 20. 3 to go, Sam Mayer starting to reel Sieg back in and has the lead down to a half a second. 2 to go, Sieg's giving Mayer the clean air.
I don't get that one.
We'll see what happens, though.
I don't get it, though. Go ahead.
White flag. It's a quarter of a second of lead. Turn 2, Mayer goes by underneath Sieg, but Sieg does a crossover move. It's heading to the start-finish line. They're bumping and banging. Sieg could have walled him and guaranteed the win, but doesn't. Coming out of turn 4, it actually looks like it's Sieg leading the entire time, except for the split second. They cross the finish line. Sam Mayer wins by 2/1000ths of a second.
Yeah, and I watched it again. He did sort of wall him. He didn't wall him hard. He needed to just plow him into the wall. You've run 342 races. You have not won. This is your chance to win for you and your crew. Like, if you're winning every other week, I'm like, yeah. But this is 342 races.
Yeah.
And you haven't won.
Damn.
And did you watch the replay?
Yeah.
Like, he literally leads that entire last quarter of a lap, except for the second they crossed the finish line. Like, somehow Mayer thrust it ahead of him and then went back.
Yeah, the Mayer wins his first win of the season and then his fifth of his career. Mayer wins the dash for the cast. Post-race interview, Ryan Sieg says, "This sucks."
6,000 or 69,420 times, and he's correct.
Yeah, Allgaier, Allmendinger, and Custer round out the top 5. Austin Hill, Ryan Truex, Sammy Smith, Jesse Levin, Anthony Alfredo in the top 10. In the end, Allgaier was once again dominant but didn't get the win. Just got impatient. As we look at the playoffs, Chandler Smith and Austin Hill both in with 2 wins. Mayer had been struggling with DNFs and was below the cutoff, but now he's in with the win. The other 9 that would be in if the season ended are Cole Custer, Justin Allgaier, Jesse Love, Riley Herbst, AJ Allmendinger, Sammy Smith, Parker Klingerman, Sheldon Creed, and Ryan Sieg.
Yeah, Sieg could have been locked in, but now he's got a fight ahead of him. Brandon Jones 5 points behind. Fast Pasta 12 back, and SVG is now 22 back.
Jeez.
He was actually above the cutoff before the race started, but the old Sam Mayer slingshotted past him.
As we look at the trucks, you were at this race, the Speedy Cash 250. Nick Sanchez and Christian Eckes will be on the front row. Stuart Friesen and Kyle Busch in the second row. Tyler Ankrum and Tanner Gray had to go to the rear in backup trucks. Rajah Kuruth, among others, that had to go to the rear with unimproved adjustments. As we get going, Sanchez gets in front of Eckes on the start, but we have an incident on lap 2. It's Thad Moffitt again.
Yeah. Memphis Villarreal also gets in it. Tyler Ankrum gets caught up in it. He was in a backup truck, which is why he was back there. And now that backup truck is smashed up too. His day is done. I picked a section to sit in. There was 50 union members and their families there, all in orange shirts, supporting Leuna, which is it's a union. A lot of NASCAR fans probably don't know that because they just give the abbreviation. But 2 laps in the race, they don't have anything to cheer for anymore, which I found to be sad but funny, but then at the same time sad.
Yeah, Leuna, the Laborers International Union of North America.
Yeah, so very sad for all those people that came out to support Tyler Ankrum.
Yeah, and then lap 9 restarted Sanchez ahead of Eckes again. 3 laps later, Rajah Kuruth, who may have had some contact in the Moffitt incident, gets sideways after getting out of the groove in turn 2. And this is where you mentioned a quote from Tyler Ankrum in the post-medical center interview. If you hang out with the squirrels, you're going to get your nuts cracked.
Yeah, I've added that one to my daily lexicon. You know how I'm like a tape recorder who just says the same things over and over. That's now in the thing.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
People are going to ask me how I'm doing. I'm going to be like, you know what? I've been hanging out with squirrels, so my nuts are getting cracked.
We restart on lap 17. Sanchez's grasp on the race is taken away as Ekkes gets a great start. He's chased by Sanchez, who's fighting off Busch. Busch finally gets past Sanchez on lap 33, and then he gets by Ekkes on lap 38 with three to go in the stage. He ends up getting the win, followed by Ekkes, Sanchez, Zane Smith, and Stuart Friesen in the top five. Daniel Dye, Lane Riggs, Grant Enfinger, Corey Heim, and Taylor Gray round out the top 10. Caruth, who had to pit multiple times, doesn't get the free pass, and he's had to use six tires already in the first stage.
Yeah, very precarious for him. He's battling, though. I'm like watching him. He is battling. He doesn't give up, doesn't seem the pot. I can't see. He's got a mask on. He's in the car, and it's going 150, but I can assume that. Stage two, slow stop for Daniel Dye. He drops from sixth out of the top 10. Other bad starts for – this is when I'm going to mention it. We totally messed up the pain schemes last week.
Why?
We then mentioned Stuart Friesen.
Why? What was his?
The Chili's menu.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I sent that to you.
Well, I know, but you sent it to me after the podcast.
Yeah, but you could have edited the episode.
No, I couldn't. It was already uploaded, and we would have lost all our thousands of hits. But anyhow, Friesen and Chandler Smith and Lane Riggs all also have bad pit stops. Lap 47 restart, Busch out easy as they get three wide behind. Heim briefly noses ahead of Busch on lap 49, but he can't hold it. It's now Busch, Heim, Ekkes, and Sanchez. After being fairly competitive earlier in the stage, Busch cruises to a fairly wide gap late. He wins another stage. He's followed by Sanchez, Ekkes, Heim, Taylor Gray in the top five. Top 10 rounded out by Riggs, Zane Smith, Daniel Dye, Grant Enfinger, and Johnny Sauter.
As we head to the final stage, Busch out front with a great battle behind him for second between Ekkes, Heim, and Sanchez. Those three and Taylor Gray have been pretty evenly matched, and then a lively battle from second to fifth throughout. 58 laps to go. Lane Riggs has to take an early pit stop because the tires probably not going to make it to the end without another stop, so he's in a precarious spot. 47 to go. Real pit stop starts with Chase Purdy starting the cycle, but he gets busted for speeding in the Bama Buggies car.
Yeah, and I trying to understand this. They say it's no limits Texas.
But I guess there is.
There is. False advertisement by what's his nuts. I'll have Denny Hamlin talk to him about it. And he needs to talk to him about something else we're going to mention, I think. Just an absolute debacle at this track.
Oh, yeah. You texted this. Yeah, this is coming up. Lane Riggs crashes to bring out the yellow as Zane Smith is heading down pit road. Smith decides not to do a stop, which leaves a bunch of trucks a lap down. And then Jamie Little, this is what you're talking about, doesn't know the name of Big Hoss.
Yeah, for a while, there's just two separate incidents. She doesn't know the name of Big Hoss, which how do you go to do a race as a play-by-play person and you don't know the big screen's called Big Hoss? Mm-hmm. But my other issue is, they said that the scoring tower was old. It was originally part of the track. So they took it down. And normally, if you're not a cheap bastard, if you take a scoring tower down, you put a new scoring tower up. Yep. But they're like, no, we'll just put the stuff on Big Hoss. So how they display it on Big Hoss is, on the left side, they have drivers 1 through 4 stay there. So you know the first four, which you're going to know anyways, because they're at the head of the thing. Like, you know in any race who the top four drivers are, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So everything from 5 to 40 rotates in four car increments, 5-second intervals. So it'll be 1 through 4 and then 5 through 8 for 5 seconds. And then another 5 seconds, it'll be 9 through 12. And then another 5 seconds, it's 13. So you can go 30 seconds looking at the screen and not see where your car's at. Instead of just looking at a tower and going, oh, he's there.
Yeah.
It's absolutely atrocious.
Huh. So you're mad about that. But as we go with 26 to go, Busch.
Wait, wouldn't you be mad about that?
Yeah, that's kind of stupid.
But... Well, I want you to express your anger with me.
Well,
are we like unified? Are we
When
unified?
I was there, they had the scoring tower.
Yeah, well, they don't anymore. So pretend like you're at that race and
No,
you're
that
trying
would
to
be
figure
very
out.
frustrating.
Yeah, it was
You'd have to
frustrating.
turn your phone on and turn on Fox.
Yeah, go on. Well, yeah. Well, they're like, just look at big hosses. Like, if I want to look at a big fucking TV, I would go to Buffalo Wild Wings and watch the race there.
And then you don't have to drive 4 hours back.
Yeah. Which I guess that's what he wants me to do.
All right, so we restart with 26 to go. Busch out front with Eckes and Taylor Gray. They're duking it out. 21 to go. Stuart Friesen brings out the yellow. Chris Wright went up the track into Mason Massey.
Yeah, Friesen. Someone hit him right in the triple-decker appetizer tray.
Yeah, Friesen unfortunately plows into him. We restart with 17 to go. Eckes on the outside of Busch. Heim ducks down below as they head into the first turn to make it three wide. And he wasn't able to get clear. He slips back. Dean Thompson and Grant Enfinger collide just as Eckes is nosing ahead of Busch. So he'll start up front. A bad air gets Thompson loose, and he causes a wreck. We see Rajah Caruth. It took him the whole race, but he's back on the lead lap.
Yeah, and we're going to restart with 10 to go. Eckes gets a great restart, but Busch is hounding him with Heim right behind. Eckes gets out of the groove with 9 to go. That means the veteran Kyle's able to get by with a push from Heim.
Yeah, but he isn't able to stretch the lead over about 0.35 seconds. And with 2 to go, it seems like Heim is reeling him in. And then Heim is able to close the gap under a tenth of a second briefly, but can never get to his black bumper.
There's a good chance we wouldn't have known it was the last lap if Michael Waltrip didn't step in. Like, they crossed the start-finish line, and Jamie Little doesn't say anything. And I think Mikey's like realizes she's not going to say anything. They are well on their way into turn one. And he just blurts out, not because he wants to, but he just screams white flag lap.
Yeah.
Or he screamed out one to go. And then she realizes she was supposed to say something and says, yeah, the white flag's out. It's like, come on. She fell asleep with 2 laps to go.
But we
something
do
I
see...
would expect from Mike Joy.
But not your girl, Jamie. But we do see Kyle Busch. He gets win number 66. Someone on this podcast predicted him to win. He swept everything and led 112 laps. He ties Todd Bodine for the most truck wins at Texas. Corey Heim, Nick Sanchez, Christian Eckes, and Zane Smith make up the top five. Daniel Dice, followed by the Grays, Taylor and Tanner, and then Stephen Parsons and Ty Majeski in the top 10.
Yeah, and we all did pretty good. I mean, you picked the first place truck. I picked the third place truck, and I told you to pick the fourth place truck. So we looked pretty good all the way around.
Yeah.
Daniel Dye, he equals his best career showing with 6th place finish. Stephen Parsons quietly having a solid truck season. He's only been in 4 races, but that includes a 6th place finish and a 9th place finish. The other two are top 20s, so good for him. And then in the Henderson Motorsports, number 75. Like I said, impressive veteran 12th place finish for Rajah Caruth. He was in trouble the whole race, including he had a flat tire in after qualifying. He qualifies, then he gets a flat tire. So apparently changing your tire is an unproved adjustment, even if it's flat. So he had to go to the back, but he grinded out. Playoff picture, we are almost to the halfway point. We've done 7 out of the 16 races. Not going to have another race until Kansas Speedway, Heart of America 200 on May 4th. So that's the day before. Oh, it's on Star Wars Day.
Yeah, may the 4th be with
Maybe
you.
Maybe Jamie Little, I don't want to get in trouble like that newspaper guy from Indianapolis talking to What's-Her-Nuts, Caitlin Clark. But maybe she'll dress up as Princess Leia.
Oh, there you go.
And Jabba the Hutt's lair. But 7 out of 16 races, we got Eckes, the only one with multiple wins. Corey Heim, Nick Sanchez, Rajah Caruth, all in with 1 win. The 6 others in on points would be Ty Majewski, Taylor Gray, Tyler Ankrum, Matt Crafton, Tanner Gray, and Grant Enfinger. Tanner Gray jumped 2 spots. He knocked Ben Rhodes out of the last spot. Daniel Dye is 5 points behind Enfinger, and Rhodes is 6 points back.
Yeah, and as we've shit on Texas Motor Speedway quite a bit, you know, with the traction compound, but I thought all three were pretty entertaining races. I think it's the best weekend we've had there in a while. The Cup Series race had a little too many yellow flags, but I thought it was still pretty
probably
entertaining.
Probably 1 or 2 too many. The truck race, I will tell you, if Kyle Busch, now maybe whoever's in front having the clean air would have changed this, but those, like I said, those four trucks, Heim, Gray, the other two, Sanchez and Ekes, they were like battling like nonstop for second through fifth place. That was an awesome race. If you don't have Kyle Busch in the race, that's probably one of the best truck races this year.
Yeah.
But he was in the race. So it was like, there was times he was dominating. You're like, eh. But yeah, all in all, I thought it was good. And then that finish in the Xfinity, hard to beat that one. Except for Ryan Sieg walling Sam Mayer to win. If he would have, that's the only way. But
yeah. No, I thought it was a pretty entertaining weekend. We're hoping we get some more exciting races this weekend. As we head to Talladega, it's the Geico 500 for the Cup Series. It'll be Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, coverage starting at 2 on Fox and Motor Racing Network and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. 500.8 miles, it's 188 laps, stages of 60, 60, 68. Looking at the entries, we got Cody Ware in the number 15 for Rick Ware Racing, SVG in the number 16 for Colleg, Anthony Alfredo in the number 62 for Beard Motorsports, and then BJ McLeod in the number 78.
Talladega has seen seven different winners the last seven races. October 2020, Denny Hamlin won, followed by Brad Keselowski, Bubba Wallace, Ross Chastain, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, and Ryan Blaney. So like a potpourri, a who's who of NASCAR good drivers.
Yeah, and it was originally known as the Alabama International Motor Speedway when in construction started in 1968. First race was in September of 69. Richard Brickhouse, won the first race at the 2.66 mile track. Name was changed to Talladega Super Speedway in 89. Total of 109 races here, with two every year since 1970. 51 drivers have won here, with nine former winners in the race, led by Brad Keselowski, who has six wins, including 2009, 12, 14, 16, 17, and 21.
Yeah, Ford does very well here because Ryan Blaney, he has three wins, including the most recent race. Joey Logano, also a Ford, has three wins. His most recent win, though, came in 2018. Kyle Busch also won last year. He has two wins, along with Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, and then one each for Ross Chastain, Bubba Wallace, and Ricky Stenhouse.
Yeah, and then if you remember last year in October, the track set a record for the most total green flag passes for the lead in a single event with 348. That April race ended with 21 different leaders and 57 different lead changes. The October race, so 24 leaders, 70 lead changes. As we mentioned, it's produced 12 first-time winners, most recently Bubba Wallace in 2021, Stenhouse in 17, Keselowski in 2009.
Yeah, and don't forget Brian Vickers, whose wife or ex-wife helped out Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, the other dignitaries who got their first win at Talladega include Ken Schrader, Phil Parson, Davey Allison, and of course, friend of the program, Bobby Hill Jr.
Yeah, you think Brian Vickers is going to beat me up for mentioning Jeffrey Epstein every time I mention his name?
Probably. I would.
I would be more concerned about my wife hanging out with Epstein. But so who's your long shot?
I was going to go with Chase Briscoe before you mentioned that you talked to Luke.
But you know Luke's always going to pick Chase Briscoe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a homer. No, but I like Chase. He's got top five, two top tens here in six races. I like his style.
I am going back to my well. I'm doing Eric Jones. I'm not doing Eric Jones. I'm picking Eric Jones to win the race. Last six races at Talladega, he leads all drivers with four top tens, and his average driver ranking ranks fifth among the active drivers in those six races. That means he ranks ahead of the likes of winners Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, and Ross Chastain.
All right.
The more you know. Winning. I have Ryan Blaney. Last four races at Talladega, three top fives. I hate to say anyone has Talladega figured out, but he might.
Yeah. No, I really like Ryan Blaney. I'm going to go with Bubba Wallace to win. Won here before. He's been running pretty well. I like his chances.
All righty.
He's from Mobile, so it's his hometown track. That's 4 hours away.
There you go. The Alabama gang.
In the Xfinity Series, we have the Ag Pro 300. It'll be Saturday, race starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, coverage starting at 3:30 on Fox, the Motor Racing Network, and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Distance is 300 miles, 113 laps, stages of 20, 25, 25, and 63, which I hate because it seems really short, and then it's almost three times as long.
And then if you get wrecks in those first two stages, they end up being like 12 laps.
Yeah.
Which
anyway, we have 40 cars, so two will miss the race. Very sad. No Bushwhackers. Among the notable non-regulars, we have Taylor Gray in the 19, Ryan Truex in the 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing, Matt DiBenedetto in the number 38 for RSS Racing, Jordan Anderson and Joey Gates are jumping in their own cars. We got Natalie Decker. She ran a Daytona in February, finishing 18th, beating Haley Deegan, who finished second to last. And then DGM, who Natalie Decker is racing for, they also have Josh Balicki in the 92, along with their regular driver, Kyle Weatherman, in the 91. David Starr's back in the number 66, and then Jeffrey Earnhardt in the number 26 with Sam Hunt Racing.
Yeah, then your dash for cash. You have last week's winner, Sam Mayer's in it. The bridesmaid last week, the very sad, left at the altar bridesmaid, Ryan Sieg, and then Allgaier and Allmendinger. Out of those four, who would you guess has a win here at Talladega?
Mayer.
Wrong.
Oh.
I would have guessed Allgaier. A.J. Allmendinger. And then you got to remember, A.J. Allmendinger always like, I hate super speedway. But then he runs fairly well here. But he's the only one of the Dash for Cash winners to drivers to have a win. Six Xfinity starts with a win in 2022, along with three top fives, four top tens.
All right. Well, there we go.
Sam Mayer in his four races here has three DNFs in the top five. Ryan Sieg, 13 races, four top fives, five top tens. Allgaier, 16 starts, the most of any driver in the field. Four top fives, seven top tens. Only two returning winners in the race. We mentioned A.J. Allmendinger. The other is Jeb Burton.
He's got two. Jesse Loved, he's opened a substantial lead over SVG in the Rookie of the Year standings. We're looking at 82 points. Who you got winning?
I am going to go with Parker Kligerman. He's run two Xfinity races at Talladega. Those resulted in a sixth place and a third place. The third place was last year. He also has two truck wins in Talladega. Ooh. Those came in 2012, 2017.
I like that one. I'm going to go with the easy one, A.J. Allmendinger. Last four races here, he's got to win three top fives.
There you go. Lock it in. And we did not get a winner from Tyler Pigg or Luke Hillen, so we'll just say they picked Natalie Decker and
Haley
Luke
Deegan.
Picked Haley Deegan. So.
Yeah. No, he did tell me that.
Among other things. So our paint schemes.
Yeah.
I really like this one. This one is my favorite this year, and they're bringing it back. Ross Chastain in the number one. I can only assume it promotes the virtues of going fishing only in your Jockey brand underwear, but it's Jockey outdoor, whatever. I didn't know they make outdoor clothes. I just thought they made underwear, but it's a big fishing theme, and it looks pretty sharp.
Yeah, it's by Luke Bryan, and then they got Busch Light on the side. It's pretty sharp. I liked the number 45 of Tyler Reddick. It's got the Jordan. If you're not a shoe guy, you wouldn't understand this one, but it's pretty sweet. It's got one of the designs of the Jordan shoes on the top and on the hood. Pretty cool.
And then we
the logo, the Jordan logo, is usually just him, like, you know, the Jumpman logo, but they put a circle around it, so it looks like a Mercedes-Benz logo.
Yeah, I noticed
that. That's my only knock on it.
And Mercedes, they're trying to get Honda. They're not trying to get Mercedes. Maybe they should. The Tootsie's Orchid Lounge paint scheme for this year looks pretty sharp. 99 Daniel Suarez. We got two bread-related cars that I sort of like. We got the Ricky Stenhouse. Thomas. I always say Thomas's, but I guess it's just Thomas.
Yeah,
there's no S after the apostrophe. But it's not English muffins. It's bagels.
Oh,
so it's bagels. And then we got the number eight, Kyle Busch, the Cheddars. I think an actual croissant photo would look better than the line drawing they do.
Yeah, a little outline.
And then you sent me this one, Shane Van Gisbergen and Wendy's number 16's got some French fries on the side. Their French fries are pretty good.
Yeah.
And then the last one I had, old school theme sort of. I really like the Brad Keselowski number 6 Castrol Edge.
Yeah, that one's a good one too. A little throwback. In Xfinity, you have the number 27 Jeb Burton. He's in the Pure Year tank lines, a little American flag look.
Yeah, I like it. American, and once again, we're getting the American flag ones. You used to have to wait till Memorial Day weekend to get those, but they're just cracking them out all year. I'm backing off the Kyle Sieg one. I sort of like the number 28 just because of the paint scheme, like the paint colors, the North Country Ford, but it's not really a great paint scheme. Ollie's. Have you ever been to an Ollie's? There's one here in College Station.
Uh-uh. I haven't been.
I heard they got cheap stuff in there that I should look around and... Like, I heard, like, the stuff changes every week. Like, there's different kinds of stuff. But it's cheap stuff. That's where you ever go to a Big Lots?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like that. But it's called Ollie's. But that paint scheme in our... Could be friend of the program, but he never answered Instagram messages after I'm like, hey, you want to come on the podcast? He's like, sure. And then I'm like, okay, what would work for you? And then he wouldn't say anything. Blaine Perkins.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, Blaine, which I know you do. And then 97, Shane Van Gisbergen and the Wendy's Frost. It's Frosty, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's going all
over. I had one. I like Ryan Ellis and the 43 Four Local Jungle Juice. Pretty sweet. It's got like, it looks like the car's been mauled by a T-Rex. It's got like scratch marks on the side.
Oh, snap. Okay. Yeah, I see pretty, that. That was a late ad to the NASCAR paint scheme thing, which I'm going to tell you. So I still have Texas on my mind. And I type in, for some reason, NASCAR Texas paint schemes. So they pop up and I'm like on the rundown. I was like, oh, this car, I like this car. It's back this week after they ran it last week. And I actually wrote that in the rundown. And I got four cars down before I realized I was on Texas instead of Talladega.
Mm. The other one I like, Sheldon Creed and the 18 Friends of Jacqueline Foundation Toyota. Pretty cool.
Yeah, they've been running that one most of the season. Really good one, really good foundation. And it's got a little cartoon purple elephant on the side.
Yeah.
So that I want to, you know what I'm addicted to, and you would not know it because you're gone.
What's that?
Because we get free ones up in the baseball press box. So I usually sneak one or two in my bag to take home with me.
Four Locos?
Celsius.
Oh, yeah.
I am crushing Arctic vibe Celsius. And yeah. So I want to like the AJ Allmendinger car, but they need to get fancier with it instead of just the can.
Yeah. All right, well, that'll do it. We got two races at Talladega, and then we'll be back to recap those, get you ready for the next upcoming week. We appreciate you guys for listening. For Thomas, I'm Evan. We'll see ya.
I grew up in Texas where football was my game, until that racing fever started burning in my brain. Started running mini stocks when I was 13, and won a short track championship when I was just 16. I met a man named Harry Hyde, and he built a car for me, sponsored by Granddaddy Hillen's Drilling Company. We ran in 5 Grand Nationals when I was 17. My Talladega finish was the start of my big dream. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde, and I'm glad I had Granddaddy on my side. You've given me my wings, now it's up to me to fly. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. Now some may say that Lady Luck has given me the breaks. I must admit she smiled a bit, but it's me that runs the race. Now you can't be a champion due to luck or circumstance. I'll do the best I can for those who've given me the chance. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. And now I've got Stubbles on my side. You've given me my wings, now it's up to me to fly.